I'm Ken Albers, and this week we will hear excerpts from an oral history interview with former product manager at Netscape and Mozilla, Raphael Ebron, that Olivia Ryan and I recorded in June of 2006. As a veteran of the Netscape AOL days, Raphael had a unique perspective to share with us, especially regarding the marketing philosophy and practices of Mozilla.
Well, it was funny though, when I first heard Firefox, I was just like, are you serious? This is what you want to call this? I was kind of pissed at the time. I was like, why are we calling this thing Firefox? And then Bart said to me, well, they really like it. Do you think we can make this work? And I said, yeah, we can make this work. And then he was like, it was funny. He was like, well, we can make this, we can make anything work, can't we? It's like, not really, but you know, I was starting to see, you know, Firefox. We can make Firefox work, and so we did. With the branding piece, what we had to do was really give it some meaning. The product gave it some meaning just because of the product manifesto that was done with Blake and Ben at the time, which made browsing made this really just a no nonsense browser. I mean, that's really the foundation of this whole thing. We also kind of introduced the organization into the marketing of the product as well. So introducing like values and things like that. So not only was this product going to be the simple and fast browser for everybody to use, it was going to be the one that came from Mozilla that had the history from 1994 of being the browser developer, but being the premier browser developer, but also kind of the values of open source, that this browser that you're using is built by millions and millions of people, and that it is has those open source values, and you can trust. I think that was another main piece, was introducing trust into the product, that you can that this browser is built on trust. You can kind of trust us to do our best to on the security front, to trust us for providing a quality product to you. So you know, we introduced that, and that really helped out. And then the other thing too, from a marketing perspective, when we jumped in, was, well, it was a startup, right? So we had nobody in marketing. It was myself and Bart at the time, and Asa, who was on the quality side, but then moved on to the kind of the community marketing piece. And so that's where kind of Spread Firefox came out, because, well, there's no way in hell we're going to be able to do this, because Microsoft's got an $X-billion budget for marketing their products, and we've got zero. We kind of use that same model of the Mozilla model of being open, being transparent, you know, getting volunteers and things like that. And so that helped out a lot. And it's not a kind of a cure-all thing. People think that open source is kind of a cure-all thing. Like, oh, okay, we're just going to open source this and everything's going to be good. You're going to get bad stuff, and then you're going to get one or two people that are just going to shine. And it's one of those continual things, and we've seen that happen time and time and again, where we just get some crappy ideas, and then we get some that are just pretty brilliant, and we kind of run with it and go. One was the New York Times ad campaign, and how that evolved too, again from the Spread Firefox piece, and even this project too. I mean, how you guys came about it is just that because we were open and you hear about us, and then you contact us, and then we kind of take that idea and run with it. So that's how the New York Times piece happened. It was a guy named Rob up in Minnesota, I guess. He was a PR person, so he knew how to get this done. He'd contacted us, and Bart had worked with him to make that happen. And then Chris finished the job, and Chris Beard finished the job, and got the rest of the ad into the New York Times, did all the logistics, and worked with Rob and Asa and Chris Messina to get the ad up in the New York Times. But you know, time and time again. We did this with the extensions contest. We did this with the Firefox Flicks. It was just, you know, getting folks contributing and really just showcasing showcasing their talents and kind of running through it. Mm-hmm. So the Spread Firefox is pretty interesting in itself, and I think other folks are trying to mimic it too. And you know, it's been written up.
Other projects
I've tried. I know Opera's trying to do something like it.
What about other Mozilla projects? I mean, has there been any discussion to not only have Spread Firefox, but spreading any other product?
It's different. There is a distinction between project and product. It's really kind of strange in Mozilla land. With the products, you know, with the premier product being Firefox, of course. I think Mozilla's got to figure that out still. I don't think there necessarily needs to be more spread type projects. They can kind of just it'll happen on its own. It kind of gets to be too much, I think. It's definitely a resource issue too, to manage all that. I think the Spread Firefox piece is really interesting. There's 100,000 plus people on that thing. There's a lot of folks who are just there to see what's going on. I didn't realize that there are a lot of PR people on there too, and just news reporters on there until, you know, we had sent something to that list, and you know, a reporter asked us what all this was about. So that was kind of neat. But then you just, you know, get all kinds. What I wanted it to evolve to was very similar to the Mozilla project. But it's tough because it's marketing. There isn't necessarily a work product versus code. With marketing, it's kind of transient, the things that you do. And there isn't that peer network. And marketing is a little easier to get into. And there's just so many different facets of marketing that it's kind of hard to grok. Whereas code is code. There are lots of, you see it, it's pretty concrete. With marketing, you know, people think of advertising and commercials and things like that. They don't think about kind of the numbers, all the different aspects of that, just the gamut of marketing. And so it's hard to really nail down who would be a perfect contributor to Spread Firefox or have that same type of system that we have for Mozilla.org, the way we do it in the code. But it is similar in a sense, because then we have, you know, in the sense of you have a core group, you have another circle, then you have a bigger circle of people who want to contribute, and then that just huge circle that just will just go crazy and who want, you know, just to show, just give a little bit of effort to show that they're involved in Mozilla. And so we see that. And we see that in the code, too. I mean, that's kind of the person that files a bug or two, mm-hmm. but at least has a Bugzilla account. With the Spread Firefox, it's that person who maybe uploads a picture, who may comment once in a while or things like that. And then there's that core group of people that are just hacking away and contributing daily and doing all sorts of different things. And they just love it. And, you know.
So you think a core group of marketers people who spend a significant part of their day working on marketing is sort of necessary in order for something like Spread Firefox to function?
Yeah, and I think this is where it's going to turn. It's when we see because what people forget is Mozilla, they're full-time employees, right? I think we'll see more full-time employees working on Spread Firefox. And mm-hmm. some already are. They just aren't so public about it because mm-hmm. of their company, because it's weird. But I think we'll see that. Because, it's like a case study type thing. The things that Mozilla is doing is just crazy. And so you kind of, if you're a PR firm, you want to be associated with that. Just mm-hmm. just how this Rob guy in Minnesota, you know, sure is the name of his firm is pretty public. You know, when he was in Wired magazine and all these other things, all these interviews. And so I think we'll definitely see more.
So
again,
you think the relationship could be similar to like the way their coders working at Google, Red Hat, but working on Mozilla stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
Is that already happening?
It is already happening. I think we'll see more. I think it's more of the joint promotion type things, mm-hmm. And you'll see it more of. It's tough. I think they're still trying to crystallize it. But I saw a post the other day where, okay, we're going to do a marketing requirements document, which is one of the first documents that you create when you're building out the next version of the product. And within that, you have like the competitive analysis, you have like the market segmentation, you've got all these different things within that MRD, marketing requirements document. That gets translated into what I was saying before, a product requirements document. But that MRD can be public. Put it up on a wiki, and everyone can take a look at it. All the marketing folks from all the different companies should be looking at it. They don't. And it's funny. It always, and then they can kind of contribute that way, you know, and contribute their, okay, like, okay, there's 10% market share here. Market share here is bad, so maybe we should be focusing on this country. Or your segmentation's off. You should be blah, blah, blah. Or here are some more numbers here, you know, things like that. Or just give out a blown out competitive analysis on Opera. It could be some guy at Yahoo, whatever, and we already have this thing on Opera, so here it is. You know, so that's how they can contribute. There's a couple interesting things about that, though, and the way Mozilla's becoming more, in the way Mozilla's being organized, because it's a non-profit foundation, yet there's all these business things that are happening. And so does it make sense to do a competitive analysis on Internet Explorer? You know, that's kind of weird. Don't know. Probably, I mean, just to see what's going on, but there's that, because deep down there's that competitive edge that we want to kill them in a way, but not really, because that's not how it's supposed to be. But yeah, we want to be better than IE. That's just how, you know, that's how we want to work. We would feel, I think Mozilla would feel weird, and I would feel weird if we were to get like 60% market share even. You know, not even talking about 95%. But, you know, I think we'd be happy. I don't know if you'd have that market share discussion, but I think many folks at Mozilla would just be happy at 50% or even 30 plus split the pie among all, you know, all the different browsers out there. So that's kind of unique. But again, competitive analysis kind of thrown out the window.
To hear Raphael further discuss his memories of Mozilla, download the full oral history from the interviews section of the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank. Thank you for listening this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with highlights from an interview with developer David Barron. In the meantime, please help us collect the history of Mozilla, both from the developer and user perspectives. Visit mozillamemory.org or email us at mozmem@gmail.com. That's mozmem@gmail.com. And become a part of history by contributing your story to the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank.